This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This session of the radio show shares part of the Franklin Mass School Committee meeting held on Tuesday, February 8, 2022. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. All of the school committee members were in the council chambers, along with some of the public. Some members of the public and school personnel participated via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distance requirements of this pandemic period. I split the three-hour meeting into three logical segments. The first segment covers the opening, citizens' comments, and superintendent's report, approximately 35 minutes. The second segment covers the update on diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts around the district, including the Q&A and commentary at the end of the presentation. This goes approximately an hour and 53 minutes. Third covers the discussion action items, discussion only items, consent agenda, and then the school committee votes to enter executive session, not to return to open meeting, approximately 32 minutes. Links to the meeting agenda and associated documents released for this meeting are included in the show notes. The link to my notes taken during the meeting is also provided. Let's listen to this segment of the school committee meeting, February 8, 2022.
All right, on to discussion action items. Dr. Hurd.
Okay. The first discussion action item is the 22-23 school calendar. So I'm proposing that you take the calendar in two segments. The first is, kind of to set the first day, the last day, the two full-day professional days, and the holidays, and the break periods. We do a lot of discussion around the calendar with the Franklin Educators Association and our administrative team. And a chunk of what we talk about is the placement of the half days for either professional development or conferences. So we're still kind of trying to think through the best placement of those. But I do feel like timing-wise, for everybody's planning purposes, to get the first days would be important. So the draft that you have in front of you, we typically start with staff on Monday, August 29th. We contractually cannot start earlier than that. August 30th is the first day for students in grades 1 through 12. And then pre-K and K start a few days later because there's some orientation activities. That first day on the 29th, the morning is typically kind of professional learning as faculty and staff, and then faculty have the other second half of the day to prepare their classrooms. We have customarily not had school on Friday, September 2nd. It is often a full day for professional development. It has sometimes been a no school day instead. The recommendation here is that Friday, September 2nd be a professional day. My understanding from a while before my time as superintendent is that the Friday was a no school day as part of a sort of dialogue with the community about starting before the Labor Day holiday. So you can see the holidays are in kind of that dark blue or purple, dark purple color. I greatly respect and want to recognize that at Citizens Comment there was a recommendation or request to consider Diwali, which I believe is Monday, October 24th. I did not put it in the calendar, but am making a recommendation to the school committee to be thinking about Diwali for subsequent calendars. My hesitation is just that I think merits a broader discussion about holidays in general. I think there may be other holidays that are recognized by families in the community, and so my recommendation would be to, at a later date, initiate an advisory committee. So it'd be, I'm not recommending that you vote on that tonight, but at a later date, put together an advisory committee with members from the community, including the Interfaith Council and families and faculty and staff, about additional holidays that may go into the calendar. My understanding from other communities is that's a process that they've been through as they've looked at their calendars, and that's something that is happening in some other places. Tuesday, November 8th is election day. We traditionally, and I think it's practically very wise for us to have a professional day on the election day. And the other vacation periods are traditional in terms of winter break, February break, and April break, with our 180th day being Friday, June 16th at this point in time. I have not typically built in additional snow days. If we had additional snow days, they would get added following that. I guess my request this evening is that you approve this calendar as a first step, with another version coming back in March with half days.
Is there a motion to approve the 2022-2023 school calendar as discussed?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion, questions, Camille? Dave Callahan?
It looked great, and I'm excited to kind of start that advisory committee for the future calendars to see how they can shape up and what holidays we'll be able to have.
Al?
It looks really, really good. And then you mentioned the 31st was the date for pre-K and K. I just didn't see a note on that date.
We haven't set that yet.
Okay, got it.
Yep, we haven't set pre-K and K yet.
Okay, cool, thank you. And then, I was looking at the grid. I know the light purple is no school, dark purple is a holiday. When it comes to Thanksgiving, the 25th, the dark purple is the light purple.
Okay.
Yeah, this is like nitpicking at this point. Just to your point that you called out about the snow days, I think thinking of like planning for vacations and whatnot, knowing like at least when the last day of school could be, if we exhausted all of our days, just as a note on an extra and just put that there. So folks, at least when they're planning some vacation or whatnot, they can say, worst case scenario, I can't leave Franklin until X date. Just gives us a peace of mind to in planning. But other than that, I thought this was great. Thank you.
David King?
I'm
coming,
thank you.
I remember we've been through this process a couple times before, so I guess my question is just how many of those half-day PDs or parent-teacher conferences are we expecting? Like, is that still to be ironed out?
It's still to be ironed out. This year we have, I think, 11. So 4 of those days are parent-teacher conferences at the elementary level, with 7 professional development days, and at the middle and high school, they have 2 days for conferences.
Gotcha. Because I think last time as a mom, I put this in my calendar, and then the half days, I was like, whoa, a little bit surprised by it, even as a school thing. So it's good to keep on top of it.
Yes.
Put it in the calendar. Thanks. I know. I forgot about Friday until just recently. Thank you, Calendar Connection.
We can make sure that that's really clear, and anything that gets posted that half days will happen.
Megan?
No questions. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion questions?
Yes, one other thought. Thank you for saying the happy
Friday.
on future versions, can we, and we'll provide this electronically, but can we have a link to the school calendars so that if we do look at this electronically, click on that, get some document for the school calendar, not school calendar, school start times. So on half days, you know, it's you know, 11:40 is the half day, first time, now go back to the website and search for it.
I'll second that. When I started with the elementary middle school thing, I had to go through handbooks. I couldn't find it anywhere.
So I'm a teacher and I never remember when I'm let out.
So I should make sure I know, add the link to the school hours on the calendar.
Somehow, you have to make it dummy proof.
Like, make them like connected better on the web.
Yes.
Somehow.
I wonder if it could be included maybe?
Ask your DLI.
Yeah. Just on there?
Yeah.
So you can have it printed?
Yeah, just put like elementary, middle school, high school. Perfect.
We'll put it right on the calendar?
Yeah, we can.
That works too.
Oh, I was thinking.
All right, vote will come in motion. All those in
favor? I'm sorry, I have one thing that I want to add, I'm sorry. I do want to share that the FDA's feedback was to have a half day on the 23rd. But as we're not talking about half days.
Of what month?
December 23rd. my recommendation at this time is to leave it as a full day, and then we'll bring back the half day recommendations to you, but I felt like I needed to share that.
No more discussion questions? Vote come on the motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Director Hearn.
Thank you. The second item for action is a revision of policy GDQD, suspension and dismissal of support staff members. So the changes that were discussed at the policy subcommittee meeting last week are in red. These are changes that are recommended by our school attorney.
Is there a motion to move policy GDQD, suspension and dismissal of support staff members, to a second reading?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion, questions?
No.
We're good. All right, vote come on the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries. All right, Dr. Hearn, discussion only items.
Thank you. So the first item in your packet is the latest COVID numbers. Although the numbers are available from the state for Franklin and for the state of Massachusetts related to the incidence per 100,000 and percent positivity, I actually did not put them in this report. My sentiment around this is that they're going to become increasingly less reliable because of the change in testing that we're undergoing. Testing for COVID is no longer tightly controlled and highly centralized, with every test being monitored for an individual being positive or negative. And so there are a lot of tests, including going out in the schools, and we can talk a little bit about how that has gone in the first week or two, where thousands of people are testing and their negative test result, for example, may never get reported into the state system. So that's going to change the denominator, and therefore going to change the accuracy of that percent positivity. So I just am not feeling that it's a super reliable metric to be counting upon, and so I didn't grab it. But we did grab other numbers specific to the Franklin Public Schools for your review. We are continuing to collect vaccine information across all ages. We are seeing a decrease in cases where, as of this report, we had 76 positive cases, but knock on wood. So far this week, we're continuing to see through our daily numbers that cases are declining. Based on the new COVID health and safety protocols from the Department of Education that went into effect last week, the idea of students in quarantine has really changed, because students are now able to be present in the classroom. And so we decided not to report that any longer. We are continuing to monitor attendance on a daily basis. What I will say is that it seems to have leveled out. And so we kind of seem to be at sort of a baseline level of absences in our buildings. It is not nearly what we saw a couple of weeks ago. In-person cases that week we had 71, and you can see how they're distributed across various schools. So other than the numbers, I think what we're seeing is thousands of test kits coming in and getting distributed every other week, once to faculty and staff, and then also to students. Paula, can you come over to us?
Sure. So we have about 36% of our students that have opted in for a home testing program. I think that number will continue to grow. As you know, in my nightly communications, I keep spreading that link along. So I'm sure principals hopefully will be sending that through their newsletters. We have about 71% of staff who have opted in. We haven't gotten much negative feedback, but we feel the distribution went well. Definitely for staff, it went really well. And then I know there were a couple of hiccups maybe at the high school level, just because of just the structure of the day and whatnot. But we believe that everyone that they test that opted in. We had our next delivery of staff tests today, so those will be going to buildings tomorrow, and then we'll expect our student delivery and staff delivery next week. So we're getting on a rhythm of our deliveries. So we're hopeful. I just want to reiterate, you know, what Dr. Hearn said is our numbers are coming down significantly. Today's numbers are probably the lowest we've had in months. So.
Neil, Dave Callahan. My daughter, she got her, came home with her test in a backpack last Wednesday. And so, it was a great process. If anybody is interested in kind of signing up for their kiddo, how would you be able to kind of elaborate what they, right now, like,
Sure. There's a link that goes out in the nightly COVID update, nightly communication. There's a link right in that letter, but we also have a link on our website in the COVID communication, in the COVID dashboard as well.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Yep. And if, you know, if they sign up on, let's say, tests get distributed on Wednesdays. So if they sign up, you know, from Wednesday to the following Tuesday, it'll be the next week. It's not like once they sign up, you don't, they don't get a test the next day. Like, we have to keep the process. Because we're not CBS.
Yeah. So, question about the test kits. So, I signed up my boys as well. So, they got two kits. Are we looking to kind of rationalize this so that we're presenting maybe one kit with has two tests versus two kits and four tests?
Yes, because I have to order them from DESE every 2 weeks, and I only get a certain amount of tests every 2 weeks. One kit per student every 2 weeks. So that's why you get two tests per kit. So you can use one test 1 week and your following test the other week. However, DESE is suggesting that if your child becomes symptomatic at any time during that week period, please use the test and test your child. So don't be afraid.
Perfect, great. It's great. Good to have that back
then. Yeah.
Then the second question pertains to the high school. So no, if we're not looking at the Franklin numbers, and only that 4% positivity, how does that factor into our policy?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think that as it relates to that policy, I think that it needs to be reconsidered. I don't have a recommendation for you at this time, but I think it needs to be reconsidered because I don't think that 4% is super valid and reliable. With the current testing
program.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
It's good to hear the at-home testing program is rolling out overall well, and I was going to ask the same thing that Al did regarding the 4% positivity, so yeah, thank you for the clarification on that.
I always say Dave Callahan, for Christina, and trying to take minutes, so she knows who it is.
Elise? So we've been getting the reopening update and the back to school update for what seems like forever now. It's been a while, right? So this has sort of become almost like an expected part of our meeting. But I wonder with the data changing, you know, this is a lot of work to compile and take time. And I wonder, like, is this maybe going to be reimagined or, you know?
Yeah. It's a great question.
Yeah.
So we did reimagine it
right at
the beginning of the year because we thought we were under some slightly different circumstances, mm-hmm. and that a lot of what had been in the reopening update, including things like teaching and learning and mm-hmm. student services, would just fold into the natural rhythm of what we do. But we started adding this back somewhere in the fall mm-hmm. Because we were starting to see either increased case numbers, or we were trying to track vaccine, we're trying to track some things. I think in general we are trying to rethink how we're capturing data, what data do we need to keep, mm-hmm. and then so we haven't made any changes yet. On the, you know, kind of complementing that is also what types of changes might you make to communications to families, mm-hmm. Because the testing's a little bit farther out of our control than it had been previously too. Mm-hmm. And so so we're also thinking about changing our practice kind of on those two levels, but have not yet made any changes.
Yeah, and it would make sense to do it together, right? And since the testing's changed, it's really comparing apples to oranges.
oranges, and so we don't want to like give the impression that the numbers are that can be compared to August numbers or November numbers.
And it's hard to, I think, with a flood of kits going home, to think like the daily numbers. We've seen a pattern. We've seen a spike in numbers on Mondays because we have the big end of the weekend build up, but with the flood of kits going home, that could also change the rhythm and the pattern too. And so we haven't settled on an answer yet, but are thinking about that.
Yeah, and no pressure, no rush. It was just sort of out of curiosity, it ends up being a number of pages, and it's like at this point, it's sort of old data. It would be good to reference if we need to at a certain point, but again, if it's apples and oranges, it's not as relevant to like making decisions today.
Right.
I think that's all I have. I did want the pages originally. I did. You're right.
You were literally the one.
I was like, more charts, more colors, more pages. I was. But now if the numbers are different, as you said, the denominators are totally different. You can't, it doesn't compare. So thank you for reminding me for the record.
I think change can be hard for people though too. And as the test kits went home, you know, we didn't want to change too much too soon. And we wanted to kind of live it for a couple of weeks and see what emerged.
Yeah,
to make sense.
And I think tonight's a good night for you to sort of say, like, you have this row now at the top where the things are different, and you sort of explain why. So it's good for us to, you know, get used to it and change things. Thank you.
Megan? I'm glad to hear that this home testing program works. Yeah, it makes sense to be nimble with the data that's in the stream.
I just wanted to thank Dr. Hearn and Rado for, you know, bringing up the tests that were sent home. Just kind of piggybacking off of that, I know at our last meeting there was a comment made by a school committee member regarding chemicals on sterilized testing swabs. So I just wanted to kind of comment on that and state that, as with any sterilized testing equipment, sterilized testing swabs are sterilized with a sterilizing gas. It's a common chemical used for sterilizing medical equipment. If anyone has any questions or concerns, I would suggest reviewing the information made available on the U.S. Food and Drug Administration or U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention website. That's it. Thank you. So next on the agenda, Dr. Herr?
Next on the agenda for your information is a charge for the Joint Budget Subcommittee. This was presented by Town Administrator Jamie Helen to the Finance Committee as well as to the Town Council. And I had shared this with our Budget Subcommittee when it was going out, but I thought that it warranted some conversation with the School Committee. The Joint Budget Subcommittee is purpose is to promote communication and collaboration during the town's annual operating budget process. You can see in this proposal, which has since been approved, the subcommittee consists of 4 members of the town council, 3 members of the school committee, and 4 members of the finance committee. And Jamie has outlined some responsibilities there, including promoting collaboration, broader communication and public engagement, keeping members respectively informed about the other committees, meeting at least once a year during the annual budget process and as often as necessary following that. Certainly would be of assistance to both me and the town administrator in developing strategies for meeting projected budget shortfalls or developing the budget in general, shortfall or not. And the authority is advisory, so there's no kind of opportunity for the Joint Budget Subcommittee to supersede any legal obligation related to kind of the school department and on their side, the town side, in terms of authority over respective budgets. So I wanted to share that with you. I know that we'll be looking to and meeting soon.
Any questions? Come here.
I just want to say, as chair of the budget subcommittee, I think this is fantastic. I've been advocating for this for the past few months. I think this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for, you know, to have the open and
just very informative for the citizens of Franklin, and be fantastic for just cross communication between us and town council and town. So thank you.
Thanks.
Ellie?
Nope, just echoing what Dave said. It's to increase the communication between the school and the town and the community. It's really important.
Thank you. That's it.
Meeting only once a year?
I think that's the minimum. So okay. My expectation of meeting once per year and then at other times as needed.
Thank you. All right, moving right along, information matters. Superintendent evaluation, please.
Yeah, we met at the end of January and we'll be scheduling a workshop with the full committee to review the superintendent evaluation process. So we do have some time on that.
And if you want to go on CPAC?
Sure. So the CPAC had a Q&A session during our last school committee meeting, which they reported had low attendance but had good discussion. And I'm waiting to hear about the date of their next scheduled board meeting, and we'll share details of any upcoming events as they are planned.
Thank you. Budget.
Yes, we'll have our next budget subcommittee meeting next Tuesday, February 15th at 5:30.
Policy,
detail hand. We met last week. Much of our discussion was on revamping, redeveloping the bullying policy. And we're really hopeful that by the time that we next meet in full session, we may have first read of the policy as well. The next budget, policy subcommittee meeting will be on March 2nd at 6 p.m.
Joint TCC.
Okay. Yeah, so we met today. Steve Trilla presented about Franklin Area Nonprofit Network to the Joint TCC just to educate them around what it is and how they can leverage and expand the reach to the community and improve their scope. We also talked about or gave the go ahead to the TCCs that they can start planning for field trips. It's a great thing, and if they haven't had a field trip for the lower grades in quite some time. Yeah. So I think they're looking forward to this and the bus is going to be busy. And then they talk about just their normal activities to build their community. So in Remington, Jefferson was talking about the Red Sox Day, where they actually rent out some seats and family purpose tickets to go and kind of just get some community, get some normalcy. And other schools have talked about other things they've done as well, with dining out that's coming up to raise some funds, and also some spirit player days that they're doing as well. Just once again, build camaraderie and then really get that culture back to some level of normalcy. At the same time, understanding that they can't do everything that they've done in the past, but trying to do as much as they can to grasp the culture. Then our next meeting is on the 21st of March.
School Wellness Advisory Council.
So we met on February 1st. We met with our wellness coach to get specific feedback on the policy, and Desi will review what we went over that day, and then it will move to our policy subcommittee for their review.
Oh, yeah,
it's traveling. Lots of bias.
Community relations.
Okay. I'm all done.
Okay, sorry. Our next meeting is February 17th. We've been discussing our community coffee chats as well as our upcoming legislative forum. We have reached out to the community asking for questions for our legislative panel. We've had some responses, but if anyone else is interested, please feel free to reach out. Our DEI committee is meeting tomorrow, February 9th. As Dr. Hearn and the rest of the panel alluded to earlier, the committee breaks out into our subgroups, such as curriculum, staff recruitment, school culture, and community engagement. You can be on the lookout soon for more information. And you can find our page under the Franklin Public School webpage in the About Us section, and then Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Substance Abuse Task Force, we met this morning, bright and early. Preparations for our social media night on March 24th at 6 p.m. at the high school has been kicked into high gear. Lucas, I know that you and other members are doing a lot of work. Could you maybe speak a little bit about
it? Sure. And David, if you want to...
Oh, by all means.
Okay. So we're excited. You can expect a more formal invitation to the event with some communications and some marketing around the event. But basically, we're really focused on providing the next in our series of critical conversations. If you remember back in November, we held one on substance use and mental health. This next segment or episode of Critical Conversations will focus on social media and its use and its impact. We're going to cover a lot of ground, and we are fortunate through some support from Jeff Roy, our state rep, to bring a keynote who specializes in this area, a Wall Street journalist and researcher who's done a lot of work on the impact of social media on teens. So we're excited to anchor that presentation and provide our community with some expertise in that area. And we'll also have more to share on that with some panel discussion and breakouts. But once again, I'll share more once we have all the details clarified.
Thank you very much. Dr. moving along, new business.
Meeting, you can expect the superintendent's recommended budget and a budget discussion with the entire committee. I'll bring back a school calendar, anticipated half days, and then maybe some policy from the policy subcommittee.
Consent agenda. Dr. Hearn.
Okay, I recommend approval of the minutes from the January 25th, 2022 school committee meeting as detailed. I recommend acceptance of two checks totaling $4,116 from Music Parents for in-house enrichment as detailed. And I recommend acceptance of a check for $2,910.16 from Grin and Barrett Enterprises for supplemental supplies for FHS as detailed. I think they're a photography company.
Yes, they are. That is the cutest name.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as detailed?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion, questions?
No.
All right. Seeing none, the vote will come on the motion. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Payment of bills. Current work. Bill payroll.
Good payroll. It's in order.
Okay. All right, finally, we will be adjourning to executive session and will not be returning to open meeting. All right, so I'm going to fail this. All right, ready? Pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A3, to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining with the SEARN unit, as an open meeting may have a detrimental effect on the bargaining position of the school committee and the chair so declares. Pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A3, to discuss strategy with respect to collective bargaining with non-union personnel. Executive session, pursuant to Mass General Law, Chapter 30A, Section 21A1, to consider an open meeting law complaint against public officers, namely the members of the school committee, filed with the committee by Kyle Thompson and dated February 3rd, 2022. Is there a motion to adjourn into executive discussion? Executive session as discussed.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, vote on a motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Roll call with executive session.
Roll call vote, Camille. Yes. Dave Callahan.
Yes.
Al Charles.
Yes.
Dave Smith. Yes. Elise Stokes.
Yes.
Megan Whitmore.
Yes.
Me Spencer. Yes. All right, thank you everyone. We'll see you on March 8th.
Recording stops.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.